We turn now to the second scripture lesson found in the prophet Isaiah, reading in the 11th chapter at the first verse. Listen again for God's word. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The word of the Lord. What are we to do? Let's begin by tying directly the coming of Christ with peace. After the sermon, we'll sing the familiar Christmas hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." You will notice, you will sing, that according to the hymn, the first words the angels sing from the heavens are, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." And if there had been some female shepherds, probably to women as well. If we go back to the story this hymn is based on in the Gospel of Luke, the birth of Christ, we would recognize that the first word spoken by an angel announced Christ's birth. But when the rest of the angels show up, they give glory to God and immediately do say, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." Peace is central to who Christ is and why Christ comes. Not just a sense of peace we feel inside, but a call for peace in the world. A call to be peacemakers in the world. Admittedly, we would rather focus on the fun of our children creating nativity scenes or the beauty of candlelit Christmas Eve worship than the sights of Aleppo. But Christ is in both places. The Christ who comes to Bethlehem comes not just to reside in our hearts and make us feel good about ourselves. He comes to redeem and save the world. God's desire is global, not just for me or for you. He comes so peace would reign across the world. Until we find ourselves living in a world at peace, the Christ child who greets us in the manger demands action from those who claim him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus has a little different approach to peace than the world does. Harvey Cox, who taught religion at Harvard and wrote quite a bit about different issues, describes the difference in the peace the Romans offered and the peace Christ brought. The Romans, those who were in power at that time, those who are known in the history books, Pax Romana, peace of Rome, they got their peace by terrorizing and oppressing and slashing their way, as Cox describes it, to more and more conquests. Peace by violence and repression. But Jesus comes talking about peace, and he shows another way. He shows peace that doesn't start with the people at the top saying, you have to be at peace or we'll force you to do it. But instead, he begins with himself and says, I offer myself in the name of peace. The world shows violence. Christ shows love. The Gospel of Matthew has some challenging words about peace this morning. Jesus saying, I come not with peace, but with the sword. Does that undo what the angels announce about the Christ child arriving in the world? I don't think so. It actually speaks about the commitment that Christ calls us to have, the commitment to the world of peace that he envisions. He's telling his disciples, how important is it to follow me? How important is it to be peacemakers? It's so important that you have to give up everything. Are his disciples, are we ready to give up everything to follow the Prince of Peace? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who opposed Nazism and ultimately died in a concentration camp, calls the cross God's sword. The cross, the sign of Christ giving up his life for the redemption of the world, that's God's sword. Christ, who could have summoned all the powers of the heavens to rain down on the Roman forces, instead chooses to go to the cross. Why? Because he is the Prince of Peace. What are we willing to give up to follow the Prince of Peace in our world? I saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge, and let me just say, it's violent and bloody, so don't take your little kids after hearing it quoted in a sermon. It shows off what I think are the horrors of war. It does so as it tells the true story of Desmond Doss, a soldier in World War II, who decides he cannot carry a gun into battle because he does not believe in killing other people. Instead, he becomes a medic and ultimately earns the Congressional Medal of Honor. He has to go to military court to be given the right to not carry a gun. He describes his request like this: with the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together. And so he won't carry a gun, but he will save lives on the battlefield. No one seems to understand that commitment. But when they see him in action, they discover the power that comes from giving up the desire to kill your enemies. Several months ago, I read an article about a group of people from a Lutheran seminary who were on a trip to Israel and Palestine. As they described it, they did all the things that you might do on a trip. They also gathered one night with a group from the Parents Circle. It's a grassroots organization for Palestinians and Israelis who have lost loved ones due to the conflict between those groups. The representatives who spoke that night were two fathers, one an Israeli father, one a Palestinian father, linked only by the fact that both had had a daughter killed for no reason. They had a conversation about what was going on, and one of them said, "No wall. No wall, no matter how high, can stop two kinds of people. It can't stop a determined suicide bomber, and it can't stop a determined peacemaker. And they spoke of how they had to make a decision. When each of their daughters were killed, they had to decide, do we respond in violence or is there another way? And they chose to give up their desire for revenge, to talk to others on the other side. What are we willing to give up to follow the Prince of Peace? I heard a story about an old man who lived in the center of a desolate and hopeless city. The man reportedly walked outside his house and onto the streets and would yell, "Love, peace, and righteousness," and then go back inside. He started doing one day, and he did it the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, drove the neighbors crazy. Every day, rain or shine, like clockwork. Love, peace, righteousness. One of his neighbors came up to him, "Are you crazy? What do you think you're doing? Besides bothering us every day, don't you know nobody is listening to you? We don't care. There's no love or peace or righteousness, so save your breath. You can't yell those three things every day and change the world." The old man said, "You're right, I can't change the world, but I can keep the world from changing me." The prophet Isaiah is read each year in Advent to remind us that the job's not done. That until we are a world at peace, the Prince of Peace is still calling us into action. One of my favorite Christmas songs is "Do You Hear What I Hear?" A familiar song to many of you was written by Noel Regne and his wife Gloria Shane. Regne knew about war. He'd been born in Strasbourg, France. He trained as a composer and then was forced to join the Nazi army, which he fled from and joined the French resistance for the remainder of the war. "Do You Hear What I Hear?" was inspired by a scene he saw in October of 1962, the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis. He said he was walking around New York City and there was the pall of death. Everyone thought the end was there, a violent end of war between two superpowers with missiles pointed at each other. And he was walking down a sidewalk and passed two mothers pushing strollers with babies who were smiling. And he said it reminded him that in the midst of this horrific feeling that he had about the world, he saw hope in the face of those babies. The next time you hear it, listen to the final stanza and hear his words. "Pray for peace, people everywhere." So we go again to Bethlehem to meet the baby in the manger. The baby who comes that our world might be at peace. The whole world. Amen.